fourth case for argument this morning is Padula against Limbach. Mr. Sedea.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Adam Seedy on behalf of the plaintiff appellee, the estate of Jerome Clement. I'd like to begin by stressing to this court that review of the district court's order is de novo, and thus no deference is due to the factual findings and conclusions of the order being appealed. I'd like to start by touching on the issue of the reasonable officer test, which is what the court will apply when it's stepping into the shoes of the officers that were responding to the scene. It's the standard that the courts apply is a totality of the circumstances test. And that's going to take into account all the facts and circumstances before the officers at the time, but it's also going to take into account the officers' background and knowledge. Here, the responding officers, before any force was applied, viewed the Clement in his vehicle with the car keys removed. They viewed Clement non-responsive. The diabetic kit and the bottles of Fusion were on the front seat at the time. Officer Limbach, one of the responding officers, was a trained EMT who testified that he knew what the symptoms of low blood sugar were.
Counsel, I'm puzzled by the federal aspect of this litigation. The state aspect has obviously gone back to state court. I don't understand what the estate's damages from this federal claim are. It apparently is agreed that the officers summoned an ambulance as soon as they were able to take Clement, to gain physical control of Clement. And they couldn't have put him in an ambulance any sooner than when they had gained physical control of him. And everything that happens after that is up to the paramedics and the physicians. He dies 2 days later. There doesn't seem to be any suggestion in the brief that he died because of the methods the officers used to get control of him.
Your Honor.
There wasn't any delay in handing him over to the medical side of the world. So what's the point of this, of the federal aspect of this suit?
Your Honor, between the calling of the ambulance and the actual arrival of the ambulance, Clement was taken from his car when there was minimal, if any, danger of flight. There were three applications of pepper spray, which the officers testified that they knew restricted breathing.
I take it to be uncontested that what the officers did not contribute to his death. Are you saying that what the officers did contribute to his death?
We're saying that there's a genuine issue of whether what they did contributed to.
Was there medical expert testimony that applying pepper spray could cause a diabetic to die?
There was Dr. Sue's testimony and Dr. Legaspi's testimony, who clearly testified that the problem Clement had, the most severe problem, was lack of respiration, which is why he was on the ventilator. Combine that with the testimony of the effects of pepper spray, which both the doctors and the officers acknowledged, that creates the issue of what the damages the estate.
I'm not sure that amounts to expert testimony that the pepper spray could have contributed to his death. Was there, in terms, a physician who provided expert testimony that use of the pepper spray contributed to his death?
The expert testimony, Your Honor, again, from both the doctors, said that it could be a contributing factor.
Sound like expert testimony? Sounds like I don't know.
Well, Your Honor, that's an issue for the jury.
There's expert testimony about this. Summary judgment time. Summary judgment time is the put up or shut up time in the litigation. You've got to put before the court enough evidence to persuade a reasonable jury. You can't just throw up your hands and say, I don't have any evidence of causation, Your Honor, but I want a jury to hear it anyway. And that's what seems to me the first step seems to be missing. There's no evidence that what the officers did caused the death. In fact, the officers seem to have gotten him to the hospital, into the hands of the paramedics in the hospital, as fast as was humanly possible.
Your Honor, there's not only the testimony of the two doctors, there's the testimony of Torres, the responding EMT. All these go to, we have enough facts, I submit to the court, to allow for the a reasonable jury to draw an inference from the testimony of the doctors, the two experts called here, or whose brief or depositions were submitted in summary judgment, that would allow that causational link to be established. I also would like to touch on the issue of a probable cause. This court has held that, and it is the law of the circuit, that probable cause is not a one-time deal. As circumstances change, the probable cause to apply the degree of force that is used will disappear, or will disappear if the court finds and this was the case here. If the officers had any probable cause when they responded to the scene, it was dissipated as soon as they saw Clement's condition, his reaction, yet the application of force didn't stop there. In fact, that was before any force was applied. The officers pepper sprayed Clement sometime between his sitting in the vehicle and his hitting the floor. We have the officer's testimony that Clement was dead weight as he went from the vehicle to the ground. We have the testimony of the bystanders that Clement had done nothing to warrant the application of force that was used.
This is an excessive force argument, not a probable cause argument. Have you shifted gears?
Yes, I have, and okay. I apologize for not notifying the court.
Okay.
And this is also an issue that ties into the genuine issues of fact that we want to address. We have the calling of the ambulance, which says that Officer Arceo, who called, recognized, as he testified, he recognized that something medically could be wrong. Whatever need there was to remove Clement, for two more officers and a dog to arrive, for applications of multiple pepper sprays and baton strikes, in light of the testimony that Clement was doing nothing, well, Clement, in the bystander's opinion, had not warranted the response that was given by the officers. We have the testimony given by Torres that Clement was thrashing, not kicking, as the officers suggested. And thrashing isn't a precise word, but the thrashing didn't stop until 6 minutes after Clement was carted away from the scene, which lends an inference that it wasn't voluntary. I also would like to address briefly, though it was not addressed in the district court's opinion, the issue of the supervisory and municipal liability due to the City of East Chicago and Chief Machuca. There are numerous events. There's another hiring event of another officer, Cocott, and then as well as a training policy, an inadequate training policy, which included the four officers in question not attending a seminar given in response to a previous excessive force complaint. We have Machuca's own reaction to excessive force complaints, which was basically, according to this, to paraphrase what this court said in Morphin, looking the other way for fear of what he might discover. All complaints were delegated, and the facts show no response was given to them.
Mr. Sestia, what evidence was put forth with regard to this diabetic kit?
The evidence that was put forth was that it was Clement's kit and that it was found on the front seat of the Clement's vehicle immediately after the events that elapsed had taken place.
By whom?
By the responding police officers.
They found it once he was on the ground?
It was after Clement was taken away. The record isn't clear at one point. Nothing suggests that it was put there between the officers arriving and them finding the diabetic kid on the front seat.
Do you have a position on its visibility at the time of the stop?
The reasonable inference is that it was on the front seat when the officers responded. There's only testimony that the officers did not find open alcohol. They never testified to what they did see. But they did testify to what...
Were they asked about that?
I don't know, Your Honor.
I mean, that would seem to me to be kind of an important inquiry in depth on whether that was visible to the officers.
It would. It would be logical, I concede, but there is nothing in the record that the officers testified to where they definitively said, we saw the kit on the front seat. I see I'm eating away at my rebuttal time. Unless
by the way, what did the kit look like?
I'm not aware. I cannot describe it to the court.
Even if you could see it on the front seat, unless something about its appearance screamed diabetes, it wouldn't be very useful, would it?
Well, again, there's Officer Leinbach's training as an EMT who recognized symptoms of low blood sugar and I believe recognized that it was a diabetic kit when it was discovered.
Recognized from its outward appearance or from opening it?
It's not clear from the record.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Please, the court. My name is David Weigel. I represent the appellees, counsel. Your Honors, I believe you can encapsulate this case by saying it was a tragic situation of a man who presented himself as intoxicated and resisting, who may have been suffering from a diabetic condition. There is no evidence that any of these officers knew that it was anything other than an intoxicated individual on private property, trespassing, interfering with the business. In the appellant's reply brief, they say that Mr. Leinbach, who did have training in EMT medical, he knew the symptoms of hypoglycemia. And by the way, this deposition was taken about 15 months after the incident. And they asked him they asked Leinbach if he thought it was possible that Clement may have been suffering from a medical condition. And his response was, it's possible. But that's as close as the appellant can get to any knowledge that Mr. Leinbach had that this victim was suffering from anything other than intoxication. There is no testimony that Mr. Leinbach had an opinion at the time of this incident that the victim was suffering from hypoglycemia. So we have reasonable police officers confronting a man on private property. They're dispatched there because he's reported to be intoxicated. He refuses to remove himself from the vehicle, and they remove him. The testimony is pretty clear that they used two or three maces. They had to use a baton on two occasions. One occasion was when they had to strike the gentleman's arm to get it behind his back, and another occasion when he was flailing with his legs and kicking. He kicked a police dog. He kicked Officer Leinbach. He was a very strong man, 5'11", 225 pounds, and they had great difficulty in gaining control. In fact, he resisted up until the point when Mr. Torres treated him for his blood sugar problem. Well, I think we have here a case where maybe Lineback was negligent in not recognizing these symptoms. Maybe they could have done something else. We don't know what that is. Certainly, even if they knew that he was suffering from a medical condition, they still needed to remove him from his vehicle.
And that's why I asked my initial question of Mr. Sevilla. You can't get him in an ambulance until you can get him out of the car and under control. And I was trying to figure out whether there was anything in the causal chain that depends on characterizing as an arrest or not the procedures they used to get him out of the car and into the ambulance. Right? If they had to get him into the ambulance in order to get him treatment for his medical condition, it doesn't seem that anything in this lawsuit depends on whether this was an arrest, whether there was probable cause, whether anything else. The basic claim seems to be a claim to medical treatment as prompt as is feasible for hypoglycemic shock. And my reaction on looking at these facts is it seems to be that that's exactly what the decedent received.
Your Honor, I don't understand
what this federal claim is about, even.
I believe the federal claim here is a misconstruction of a negligence claim. This should be brought in state court. Did Lineback know, or should he have known, that this gentleman was hypoglycemic as opposed to intoxicated?
No, that would be the right question if the process of arresting Clement delayed getting him medical treatment.
I'm assuming.
But as far as I understand this record, there was no delay as a result of this being an arrest, as opposed to the police arriving on the scene, instantly recognizing that he's a diabetic, instantly recognizing that he's in hypoglycemic shock, and then just trying to get him out of the car and under control so he can be passed over to the emergency medical technicians. There doesn't seem to be any difference in the timeline. That's why I asked my initial question.
I don't believe there was. And I guess the other question is, what would they do if they determined immediately that he was hypoglycemic?
They would have to get him out of the car so they could get him into the ambulance.
Maybe not, I suppose. Obviously, I just couldn't leave him there on private property obstructing business. So we think they acted reasonably, and we think that the only claim here is a possible negligence claim.
Who called the ambulance?
One of the officers called the ambulance.
And that arrived approximately 18 minutes after they arrived on the scene?
Approximately. They called the ambulance when they noticed there was blood coming out from the side of his head because he was on the ground. That was the point of when they called the ambulance.
And it's clear he's not wearing a medical bracelet or necklace or other...
He was not implement wearing
to designate that, right, that he was a diabetic or had other medical conditions that they should be alert to, which takes this outside of the McAllister case.
He had a medical card in his wallet in the back seat of his trousers. There was also what's been described.
Which obviously one will never see until you get him under control. I don't understand why a type 1 diabetic would not wear a metal or bracelet.
He also had the kit, which is not described adequately in the record. His grandmother testified that she found it in the car after the car was returned with some other material on the front seat, but there's no evidence that there was some language screaming from that kit that the officers could have seen that was a diabetic kit that was in the car at the time. We don't know that. Just don't know that. Unless there are other questions, I really don't have any more, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Weigel.
Thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Sevilla?
We have Mr. Weigel in his argument recited a number of facts that he talked about, Clement resisting and kicking. Those are all facts that there are genuine issues to as to what Clement's behavior actually was during the interval between calling the ambulance and the ambulance arriving. The officers were called to respond to a potential drug and driving situation and testify that they saw no alcohol. The others officers testified that they smelled no alcohol on Clement. Yet the force continued to be applied throughout this entire incident. We have a similar case that I drew attention to in my brief. That's the Phillips case. There we have officers applying force, but of a much different nature than was applied here. We didn't have four officers on top of a suspect who was much, according to the evidence, much more active and much more combative. We have, that begs the question, what necessity was there even to remove him from the car, at least until the ambulance came? If that hadn't happened...
If they had left him in the car until the ambulance came, it would have taken even longer to get him into the hands of the emergency medical technicians.
What need was there then for two more officers and a dog to respond and for the baton strikes and the pepper spraying? Again, these are Clement's behavior raises an issue as to whether the force was necessary to keep him restrained until the ambulance finally arrived.
Mr. Sadia, why, if he remained in the car, as you suggest is a possibility, why would you call the ambulance?
Well, he poses no risk to anyone or arguably himself while in the car. Taking him out, and again, I wish to stress here, the pepper spray was applied before Clement was fully on the ground. Where the force was applied, I would say the officers too hastily applied their force here, or at least there's an issue as to whether the force they applied when they applied it was appropriate. At least until the ambulance came. And unless there are any further questions, I'll conclude there.
Thank you, counsel. The case is taken under advisement.
Thank you.